shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Let's do it again with a tea.
Hold on. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're very grateful to have you with us each and every night. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. For those of you viewing us on Phil TV and HD, welcome. And that is a picture of Jay Robinson as Caligula that is behind me. You can see this guy. That's a great actor named Jay Robinson who played Caligula in a movie called The Robe. And he never got real credit for what he done did. And that cat is solid, man. I mean, I can't even tell you. He took the whole movie over. He stole the movie from Richard Burton. He stole the movie from whoever the hell else was in the movie.
What are you talking about?
This guy that played this mad Roman emperor, Jay Robinson. And I'm telling you, I saw the movie when I was a kid. And I said, who is that guy? You got to see the flick. But every single actor that was in that movie, and there were some big, big names in it, when that guy was on screen, he just took the whole movie over. Beautiful. So our way of paying tribute to him is a little slide of him here on our green screen tonight. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're also, as you know, on philhendryshow.com. Go over and get a backstage pass. You can join us on our Phil TV and HD. You can listen to thousands of hours. And I mean, when I say thousands of hours of archive material, I ain't just whistling Dixie, man.
But I don't know what that means, whistle Dixie.
Yeah, it would go like, Miss I wasn't Dixie.
Right.
What does that mean?
It's just a saying. It's just a saying, bud. Take it easy. So you can get thousands of hours of archive material. You can also get our daily podcast. You can take part in our comment section if you want. Call me a douchebag. Sing my praises. Whatever you want to do. It's at philhendryshow.com. And become a backstage pass listener. And you are a part of our family. Very, very tight-knit family. Very, very tight-knit group. And who knows, man? Very, very soon, I think we're going to have some kind of a celebration of our backstage pass holders, some intimate party for thousands, barbecue, booze, who knows, the cops. It'll be great. Sandusky accuser would testify of severe sexual assault, according to lawyer. Are you sick of this story? You shouldn't be. It's important, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important, but it ain't all that entertaining.
It ain't all that entertaining. So that's what you're thinking, huh? It's got to be entertaining. Is that it?
Yeah, we want to be all laughing about it and everything.
I'm just saying, man, what we do for a living is entertain. Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you come along every day here, Sandusky this, Sandusky that. And someone asked my, but you know, Mavis, my aunt, she said, Mr. Henry talking about Sandusky again. She was all upset about it. I said, no, he's talking about Sandusky, Ohio. I had a lie. I had a lie to my own aunt. Hold on. Stop saying, gotta be something different, man.
You told your aunt we're talking about Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah. Because she's all, Mr. Henry, he's on and on and on about Sandusky. That's all I'm saying. I just want to say it.
Well, you said it, man. And guess what? We're still going to talk about it. It's in the news. It's important. It's interesting. And to be perfectly honest with you, and I shouldn't say this, it's the only interesting thing there is in the news right now. There's a Pennsylvania lawyer representing one of eight boys alleged to be victims in the Penn State sexual child abuse case. See, the reason why this is so compelling, especially to a football fan, is because my whole life, Joe Paterno has been head coach at Penn State since I was in eighth grade. Since I was a 13-year-old boy, he was the head football coach. So all through my high school years, all through the 70s when I was in my 20s, all through the 80s when I was in my 30s, all through the 90s when I was in my 40s, all through this past decade.
When you're in your 70s.
When I'm in my, will you shut up, in my 50s. It's been Paterno practically my entire life. When I first had sex with a young lady, Paterno was the head coach at Penn State.
When you got caught by your mom.
Will you shut up? When I took my first sip of wine, Paterno, it was a very good year. 17-year-old girls, you know how it goes. Anyway, so Paterno's been there through it all. Through the bigs, through the littles, through the highs, through the lows. For a lot of us. For some of you, Paterno's been head coach there longer than you've been alive. He's been a part of, if you're a football fan, he's been a part of the football landscape. even if you're not much of a college fan, and I'm not, man, if it ain't Joe Paterno, it's, you know, every bloody year, Joe Paterno, Joe Paterno, Joe Paterno, Joe. And I remember in recent years they're making fun of the fact that he's too old and this guy's this and this guy's that. Now he's 8-1. The cat, you know, challenging for the Big Ten championship. I mean, this guy remains a very vital, or has or did remain a very vital head coach. He's done now. He's never going to coach again. I mean, he may. He may get, somebody may hire him, you know, for the remaining years of his life. I don't know. But it's just a damn shame. And I think, and I've said it before, I think what's going on here is a guy that's 84 years old, like my old man, if he were still alive, he'd be 96. Okay, but they're, I think they're kind of the same generation, Paterno and my father, with the early part of the 20th century. And you got to understand something. It may piss you off, and I you know, some people may think I'm making apologies. I'm not. I'm trying to understand it, that's all. And I think this guy came up during a period of American and world history where people from that generation, man, they didn't talk about this stuff. This was something, no way, you know.
Well, what'd they do about it?
I think they did like what Paterno probably felt he was doing, which is, okay, what happened? Well, he was molesting. All right, did you tell? Yeah, okay, then I don't want to know. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to hear about it. And it's a problem that he's got. And I think Sandusky said in this interview, and he saw Paterno last summer. And so Paterno probably didn't say anything to him. Probably just, you know, I don't want to say anything. I'm just, yeah, this problem. I'm sure he's getting it taken care of. And I just, you know, I don't want to know. Because it's just really weird, very creepy. Just, I'm telling you, man. You bring that up to somebody their age. Hey, what do you think about child? Oh, you know, oh, God, oh, yeah. I mean, there's some very hipper, older people who will say, well, you know, it happened to me. I got to tell you something, man. In my family, there is belief now. Because I was back in Canada, and I was talking to my cousins. And we discussed this, and we believe now that both of our mothers, meaning my aunt, their mother, and their aunt, my mother, I said their aunt, and my aunt, I'm using the American pronunciation of aunt, and they're the Canadian's aunt. So anyway, that both of those girls, my mom and my aunt, were molested. We firmly convinced of this. And we even know, in fact, one of my cousins said, we think it took place at a boarding house that my grandmother operated. So you can imagine, these are two little girls who are living with them, not my grandmother, their grandmother, be my great-grandmother. These two little girls are living there with their mother and their grandmother. And this was what a very common business to have in those days, folks, a boarding house. If you had a big house and you needed money, you took in boarders, took people in. Now, there's your room, and the meals are served at 6. If you're down here, great. If you're not, drop dead. We don't care. And the room costs you 5 cents. I don't know what the hell they charge. This is how people made money. And they believe, and I believe it too, that both of these girls, my aunt and my mother, were molested. My mother was very depressed throughout her life. My mother really battled against it, and she did a good job. But then I asked my cousins, I said, well, what about, you know, they said, yeah, we think that she was pretty depressed too. I mean, I said, you know, it's really funny, man, because I always remembered my aunt as being much more, I don't know what you say, she was much, much more lively than my mother. But they felt that she that this took place. And so, look, is there a family anywhere where if you don't pry the floorboards up far enough, and if you go into the back of the closet far enough, and if you dig a few holes in the backyard, is there a family anywhere where you're not going to find some really ghoulish stuff? You know?
What about your aunt? Is she going for help?
Going for help? She's not around anymore.
Really old, man.
We're talking about a couple of women that were born at the turn of the century, okay?
Oh.
I mean, my mother was born in 1913. My aunt was born probably a couple years later, 1915, 1916. And they were little girls at a time in Toronto, Canada, which was pretty much like any back Eastern American city. And they, you know, and there were boarding houses. It was just, God, I can't even imagine what kind of time it was. Can you imagine being time travel back to that time?
I think that'd be great, man. Not you, you're black. They wouldn't let you in to even take a, you wouldn't even be able to go to a bathroom in a pan.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a good point, bud.
Bill, wait a minute, be in Canada. They let people, let black people there.
Yeah, they say they let black people do stuff there. You go to Canada, they probably just make you clean out the spittoons and stuff.
What's that?
Spittoons where you spit.
They had spittoons. You never heard of a spittoon?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the big, ugly, frightening, grotesque jars that would sit on the floor, these large things that would sit on the floor in saloons and barbershops where guys would spit their tobacco juice because guys used to chew a lot of tobacco, you know.
Man.
They wouldn't let no black guy in.
No, I'm dead. In Canada, they would.
No.
Probably in Canada, they would have a problem with you, but not as much as in the States. Anyway, what the hell are you guys talking about?
Want to find out if you're going to let Robert into some saloon in Canada. If you go on the Underground Railroad, maybe.
Yeah, that's another thing, going on the Underground Railroad.
What do you mean the Underground Railroad? Man, we're talking about the 20th century here, okay? But nonetheless, you can you? I wouldn't want to go back to those days. I wouldn't want to get, I mean, I would just for a sort of academic, you know, I mean, it would be fascinating. But to actually live then, knowing what you know now, to live back then, you'd go insane, man. You'd probably wind up getting your ass kicked.
Why?
I mean, if you go back, and I'm going to say you, anybody from this era, if we got transported back to the 20s, we'd probably wind up getting our ass kicked because we'd be shocked and offended by everything. Wait a minute, what are you doing with that cat? Wait a minute, how did you talk to that woman? You just talked to that black guy that way. You just talked to that Jewish person that way. How can you talk to that, you know? And you're smoking and I'm trying to have a meal. I mean, dude, every single solitary thing they did, you'd probably be complaining until somebody finally said, okay, that's it. That's it. I've been listening to you. But you don't understand. I come from the 21st century. Sure you do. Sure you do. You come from the 21st century, and I live on one of the rings of Saturn. Bam!
Yeah, I can see how that happened.
You better believe it had happened. You just thank your lucky stars you're living now, man. It'd be too weird back then. All right, we'll be coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. And PhilHenryShow.com. Other news. Storms sweep areas southeast, damaging homes and businesses. Goodness gracious. We'll talk a little bit about that. And the White House shooting suspect has been arrested. Did you hear about this? Some guy was taking shots at the White House, but they got a hold of this slob. And we'll talk about that. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our usual number, and we're in our news and information hour right now with Robert and with Bud, and this story here that we did not cover earlier in the show because, quite frankly, it's a hard news kind of a story that doesn't lend itself much to discussion, you know.
What are you talking about the president?
I understand it's about the safety of the president. If there's nothing to talk about, trust me, there's nothing to talk about. You're going to get on the air and you're going to complain, well, how did this guy get close to the White House? A lot of hot air. This is what I call a hot air topic. There's only one decision. You take this guy, you kick his ass, and you throw him in a cage, and that's the end of that. And, you know, and he had a gun, and now, you know, he'll never have a gun again. White House shooting. Oscar Ortega Hernandez, arrested for allegedly shooting at a window in the executive mansion of the White House, is believed to have had an obsession with President Obama.
Mr. Ortega Hernandez was apprehended at the Hampton Inn in White Township approximately 12:20 this afternoon. Personnel at the Hampton Inn in White Township contacted the state police and reported that Ortega Hernandez was in their lobby. State police personnel responded to the Hampton Inn and took Mr. Hernandez into custody without incident. He was taken into custody on the basis of a United States Park Police warrant that was issued on November 13th, 2011 in the Criminal Division, Superior Court of the District of Columbia, based on a shooting that occurred at the White House on November 11th, 2011. The subject, Mr. Ortega Hernandez, did not resist. To my understanding, he did not make any comments other than he wanted to know why he was being taken into custody. He did not have any identification with him. you know, he provided a name which matched the information that we had of who the officials were looking for. He was brought back here to the barracks, and he was fingerprinted on the live scan machine to conclusively identify him and to match any existing warrants that were out there for him. And there was a match. We did get a match on that. So that's a reason that he was detained. Once he was brought in
here.
All right,
so you guys got that. That's Brad Shields, Pennsylvania State Police. They grabbed him, they cuffed him, and that's the end of that, man. And it sounds to me like the guy's bent, you know, a little whack, you know.
You think the guy, like, insane?
I don't know, man. He's some homeless jackball. He doesn't have ID. He doesn't know why he's being taken into... I mean, obviously, he wasn't trying to elude very heavily anybody. He had a high-powered rifle, or some kind of a rifle. According to the police, you just heard what he said. He didn't resist or arrest. His first court appearance is scheduled to be tomorrow afternoon, or today, this afternoon, Thursday afternoon in Pittsburgh. He was reported missing by his family on October the 31st. He was reported missing on October the 31st. So this is a guy that I think might have some issues, man.
Yeah, like he's crazy.
Okay, crazy, you know. On Friday morning, he was stopped by police in the Washington suburb of Arlington, Virginia, while investigating a report of a suspicious person. Police took photos of him, but didn't have any reason to arrest him. A message left for Ortega's mother Wednesday at an Idaho Falls restaurant where she works was not returned. Phone listings for family members in Idaho were disconnected. Ortega has an arrest record in three states, but has not been linked to any radical organizations, according to the U.S. Park Police. Police searched, and that's the U.S. Park Police. They are in charge of that area, the White House, because it's national park, and people go, tourists, jazz like that, you know.
What do you mean? Are they like park rangers?
Well, look, bud, park rangers, I don't know. They got guns and they got badges and they can shoot you and they can arrest you. How's that? Police searched the occupied D.C. encampment on Monday after callers said they'd seen a man matching Ortega's description, but the search turned up nothing, and he might not have been there. It might have just been some people who thought they saw him. Witnesses on Friday reported hearing shots and seeing two speeding vehicles on Constitution Avenue near the White House. Authorities said they found an abandoned car with the assault rifle inside near the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge, which crosses the Potomac River to Virginia. The bullet that hit the White House window was stopped by ballistic glass, bulletproof glass that they have there. The Secret Service didn't disclose the location of the second bullet, saying only that it was found on the exterior of the White House. Obama and the First Lady had traveled with their daughters on Friday to San Diego en route to Hawaii for a summit prior to flying to Australia. The White House had no immediate comment on the shooting or on who might have been home at the time. On Wednesday, officials took photographs of a window on the executive mansion in the south face. The window is in front of the so-called Yellow Oval Room, according to the White House website. So, other than the fact that the guy is, his mother works in Idaho, and that he was reported missing by his family, sounds to me like he's a little cuckoo. And that's, you know, in America, these guys are generally kind of whacked out, aren't they?
Well, that John Hinckley was.
Yeah, and another guy, the guy that shot John Lennon probably,
Mark David Chapman.
What?
Mark David Chapman, the guy that shot John Lennon.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are cuckoo. Kolgosh, is that guy? The guy that shot, No. The guy that shot President Garfield, Guiteau, he was nuts. He was nuttier than a fruitcake, that guy. He was whacked out. He went to Washington because he thought that Garfield had told him he had a job in the cabinet. And he shows up, and I'm all ready for my job. And I'm like, who the hell are you? Get out. And he's you know, like, how dare you? And he sees Garfield one day at the train station and shoots him. The thing that killed Garfield wasn't the bullet. It was the lousy doctors that he had. Anyway... In 2010, there were a series of pre-dawn shootings at military buildings in the Washington area, including the Pentagon. In the last shooting at the White House in October of 94, a Colorado man sprayed the mansion with at least 27 semi-automatic rifle bullets from Pennsylvania Avenue in an attempt to assassinate then-President Bill Clinton, who was home at the time. Bystanders subdued the suspect and no one was injured. Francisco Martin Duran was convicted, sentenced to 40 years in prison for that shooting. The next year, Pennsylvania Avenue was closed to traffic to bolster security. That's when they did it. I remember when you used to be able to walk in front of the White House and drive in front of the White House, I mean, in your car, and they closed it down and turned it into a security area. Wow. So there it is, and I guess that this guy is, you know, it sounds to me like he's got something loose in his brains. We'll find out. World famous Phil Henry Show coming back with more news on those storms and possibly another visit from Margaret in Austin and Marka to find out about his truck that he flipped on I-5 when he heard her singing. Apparently the high-pitched whining disoriented him.
Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. What, bud?
What is this, man? It's black and white.
Hold on, man. I suddenly got this wild hair. I was talking to you guys about this guy trying to shoot at the White House. Actually did shoot at the White House, but thank God didn't hit anybody. And for whatever reason, I remembered this old Frank Sinatra movie called Suddenly.
Why do you call it that?
Because that's the name of the town. But anyway, it's a great movie because it's Sinatra playing, you know, against type. He's not playing cool. He's not playing Ocean's 11. He's not playing he's playing like in From Here to Eternity. He's playing against his type. He plays a potential assassin. He's been hired to kill the President of the United States. And he is he's crazy. Now, I got a little bit of this film. Sterling Hayden's in it, who plays the town sheriff. Let me see if we got
to assassinate a fictional U.S. president from a window with a long-range bolt-action rifle.
I can do it, and I'm going to do it.
But you're an American citizen.
Sure. And 1 minute after five, I'm going to be a very rich American citizen.
Suddenly.
So, that's Sinatra. 1 minute after five, I'm going to be a very rich American citizen. So that's the flick called Suddenly. Is there anything else here?
I'm looking at this one here, man. Well, they ain't got some guy talking.
This is a lot of work.
Do it, Benny.
But, Johnny, I don't see what we...
Just do it, Benny.
Benny.
Once you get the gun anchored, you got a solid base. You'll see when we get to it. This gun's got a heavy recoil. It won't stand still. And we got just 3 seconds to nail the president.
There you go. Have you heard of that movie?
Man, I ain't never heard of that one. I bought Frank Sinatra to do stuff like that.
What's wrong with that?
Gonna kill a president? I mean, I know he's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor, man. Not really gonna kill a president.
Kill a president?
Look at Robert. Don't get all tied up in a guy's image, okay? You know.
Yeah, but he was friends with Kennedy.
Okay, so he was friends with Kennedy. Frank Sinatra was an actor too. You understand that? So he's playing a character. He's playing a guy that's gonna kill the president of the United States. This movie's from 1954, dude. This is long before Kennedy got killed. This is like 9 years before Kennedy got killed. So, like, Sinatra was, you know, he just came out of From Here to Eternity. He's really doing it, you know. He's taking these really heavy character parts. And this thing was great, man. You should have seen this flick. He was nuts.
Did he kill a president?
No, he didn't kill the president. Yeah, that'd be great. Let's walk out of the movie theater. The bad guy wins. What do you think? No. But I ain't going to tell you what happens.
Well, you tell us he didn't kill a president.
I know he didn't, but there's other stuff that goes on. Anyway, see it if you get a chance. If you see it on Netflix or something, check it out. It's pretty good. It's called Suddenly. All right, storms sweeping across the southeast. A storm system that produced several possible tornadoes hit the southeast on Wednesday, damaging dozens of homes and buildings. At least 4 people were killed and dozens more were injured. Suspected tornadoes were reported in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina. Thousands of people were without power as trees and power lines were downed. In South Carolina, 3 people were killed and 5 injured when a likely tornado swept through a rural community near Rock Hill in eastern Alabama. Suspected twister splintered trees. This has been the worst bout of weather for the states since about 250 people were killed during the tornado outbreak in April, which was just brutal last spring. Both campuses were spared. Auburn University was near near this spate of storm activity, and then the University of Alabama as well. But both campuses were spared major damage. In Rock Hill, one of the residents told a local newspaper she was sitting on her back porch when she saw the tornado touch down and then quickly move back up. She said after the storm passed, she noticed a nearby trailer had simply vanished. She said everything was gone, even the cows in the pasture.
Where'd they go?
They got picked up by the Twister, man.
Man.
That's right.
You ever see that movie, Twister?
Yeah, I saw that. That movie was based on Storm Chasers. You know that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, that they don't really do that.
I don't know what Storm Chasers do. I know the very article, though, that inspired that movie. It was in Details magazine, and it was in the early 90s. I read the whole article. It was fascinating because I'd never heard of Storm Chasers before. I didn't know what these guys did. I didn't even know they existed. And Details magazine had this article on these Storm Chasers. And maybe the article came out because this film Twister was coming. I seem to think or seem to remember that the film was sort of inspired by all of these things that were happening. But they had this article. These guys sound like they're goofy. And the movie Twister made them seem like they were a bunch of surf dudes. Only it wasn't the surf. It was like surfing a house, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, they're all like, yeah, man, it's pretty chill. You know, let's go look at a tornado or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't so much. I shouldn't call them. You know, they're not a bunch of sun baked idiots. These cats are basically aspiring scientists. Most of them, I think, students in the meteorological departments at say University of Oklahoma, places like that. But they're in these vans, and I don't know what inspired this, and maybe it's something we ought to look into, but they would just chase these tornadoes. They're clocking wind speed, all kinds of experiments. But the movie was dopey. They had cows flying through the air.
That was the best part of the movie. What are you talking about?
Well, they may have been the best part of the movie, but I don't know if... I'm sure cows have flown through the air. Anyway, this lady went out back. She went out back after the storm passed. She said everything was gone. Even the cows were gone. The guy's trailer was gone. Everything was gone. There's only one thing that happens there, bud. The tornado picked up the cows, picked up the trailer, picked everything up, and now the cows and the trailer are someplace else.
They go look for it.
Bud, they ain't even going to be in one piece, man. As Weather Service experts fanned out to assess damage, Auburn graduate student Stacy DeGreer didn't have any doubts about what sent a pair of trees crashing through her mobile home at Ridgewood Village. It's tornado damage. I'm from Kansas. I know tornado damage, she said. It's kind of hit or miss. There'll be two or three trailers that are bad, then a few that are okay, and then some that aren't even there. Trees fell on homes in southeastern Mississippi, where Jones County Emergency Director Don McKinnon said some people were briefly trapped. So it's the usual, you know, it's that badass storm stuff, man. It's always happening, you know. And I'm very, very grateful that I did not grow. And I have to tell you this, and I mean this sincerely. I mean this sincerely. People will think I'm kidding, but this shows you how crazy I am, and it shows you what a chicken I am. That I would rather live in earthquake country than in tornado country.
Yeah, probably me too, because I don't want to see it.
What do you mean?
Well, you can see a tornado coming. I don't want to know about it or anything.
Oh, man, you're going to start to cry again, man?
You going to cry, bud?
No. Did you see a tornado?
They do look pretty scary, you got to admit.
I don't know.
Are you serious? You look at a tornado on the horizon, this big black... You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like watching you walk in a room.
Well, you lousy.
Come here!
Hey!
Say that again, man. I'll kick your ass.
Hey! They're pretty formidable, looking at a big tornado on the horizon, looking at those damn things. They are very, very frightening. And I agree with Bud, because living here in California, I've heard people say, oh my God, I wouldn't live out there with I'd much rather live with earthquakes. Way more. I know it sounds crazy, but think about it. Let's think about this for a second. Tornadoes, from what we obviously have understood of tornado damage, what we've seen, what we've heard the news report, tornadoes really tear ass through cities and towns and communities. Man, they wreck everything in their path, and as you can see, there were fatalities. And this is almost a regular feature of a tornado. Earthquakes can most often not even approach the damage level of a tornado.
Yeah, but man, when they do, are you kidding me? What about in Oakland, the freeway falling?
Okay, all right, I'll give you the freeway in Oakland. I'll give you all the stuff that happened up in San Francisco during the quake there, and I'll give you the bad Northridge quake. But most of the earthquakes that hit are those. I heard of. There was a quake that rolled through here yesterday. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I didn't even hear nobody say nothing about it.
There was a quake that rolled right through the El Pacifico early yesterday morning, as God is my witness. I even tweeted it. You can look up my timeline. I said, earthquake just hit. And it was an earthquake. Don't worry about it, because I know what they feel like. And there was an aftershock, and that was it. No damage, no nothing. Now, it probably was out in the Pacific, the epicenter. I don't know where the hell it was, but that was an earthquake. We have many of those every year. We have several in a month sometimes. And they don't come anywhere close to doing what a tornado can do. Now, you're right. When we get a really bad one, like the Northridge quake, like what happened in San Francisco, when the Nimitz Expressway collapsed, you know, it's bad, man. It's real bad.
Yeah, but I bet you if a tornado come through a city, it'd probably do the same.
I don't know, man.
No, are you kidding me, man? They ain't going to make a freeway collapse.
Why not?
Because of wind, man. Oh, that's what people hide from tornadoes.
That's true. That's where people get away from tornadoes. They go under freeways. They go under the freeway overpasses. So so the tornado itself is cutting right across the roadway, right across the bridge, and doesn't do any damage. So earthquakes are much different. An earthquake will undermine the foundation of a building, of a freeway. Oh yeah, you know. But
yeah, but like you said, man, it's not anywhere as bad as.
It's not, you know, for the number of earthquakes that we have in California, they don't do the damage that a tornado will do. But I don't even think of it that way. I think of it more in a very organic thing. Man, when I see tornadoes look like the devil. That when you look at a tornado on TV, it looks like hell. Just looks like the devil, man. I mean, the worst thing you could think of just is coming to get you. Big, black funnel cloud, man. Sucking everything up. And it's huge. And it's just, you know, and you think, it's like a dream. You know those dreams you have where you're trying to run away from something, you can't go fast enough? That's how I think trying to get away from a tornado might feel. Just like no matter where I go, it's following me, you know.
You can get in your car and go faster than a tornado. Are you crazy or something?
Yeah, but you don't know which way it's going, man.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. I'm going to get in a car and just go, you know, but I don't know. Just tornadoes. And then the other thing, my brother was in the Navy, and he told me he saw. And I said, God, man, that'd scare me to death. He saw a water spout.
What's that?
A water spout is like a tornado on the ocean. The water is getting sucked up into the sky. You ready for that?
Are you crazy, man?
No, I'm not crazy. It's like a tornado on the ocean, and the water's getting sucked up in the air. And they saw this. I said, dude, if I saw that, that'd scare the hell out of me. I mean, there's not a whole lot of things. I got no problem. This is crazy about me. I got no problem, and I'm not saying that I'm nuts, but I don't have a problem with fire. In other words, in my life, there have been situations where fire was a threat, and I've been able to deal with it very well. Where I've seen other people stand there kind of paralyzed, I've been able to just walk, do whatever. Okay, I'm not saying it's just I don't have a problem with fire. I don't know why, but I don't. But I'm going to tell you right now, man, tornadoes, that kind of looking at stuff like that, water spouts, heights. I got phobias about certain things. Man, just kill me now. I didn't want to face this stuff, you know.
Did you chicken out on a tornado if it's going to come to you?
Would I chicken out on a tornado? What did you say?
Yeah, man, why don't you speak English, man?
I am speaking English. Would you chicken out on a tornado?
What does that mean, bud? Would I chicken out on a tornado? Would I run?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I would. I would.
Yeah, you go all chicken.
What are you going to do, man? You going to stand there and stop it with your body?
Yeah, you probably do.
No.
You were just telling me that you're afraid of them. In fact, you were almost crying.
No.
Yeah, yes, you were. All right, well, that was really intelligent. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back, folks, with more news. Enough about the tornadoes and whether Bud's afraid of them or not. Bloomberg's bum rush backfires, ? Well, let's find out about Occupy Your Mama when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, that story I heard the other day. They turned themselves into Japanese lanterns.
Heard what?
Bet the Buddhist monks.
Yeah, the Buddhist monks are at it again, man. They're going all Japanese lantern. What do you mean the Buddhist monks are going all Japanese lantern?
Turn themselves into a neighborhood tiki torch. Seen it the other day on the news.
You mean they're lighting themselves on fire?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you say that, bud? The Buddhist monks are going Japanese lantern. Why?
On account of Tibet.
Oh, they're lighting themselves on fire. Oh, God almighty. There's something about the Asian Buddhist monk, and I don't mean the Asian Buddhist monk as in China, Japan. It's mostly Southeast Asia or Southern Asia, where the Buddhist monk's very politically motivated and would light themselves on fire. Remember, they did that during Vietnam to protest the dictatorship of the South Vietnamese government. These Buddhist monks would just sit there in a meditation, you know.
No, they ain't jumping around or hopping around. That'd be worth it. I mean,
what are you going to say, man? It'd be worth it to see it? God, you're sick.
Well, I mean, if you're going to look at it.
No, they don't go hopping around, bud. No, they don't. These cats, you got to understand something. These cats are totally into, like, the meditation concentration thing. And they're making this very heavy statement. It's a political statement against the oppression of the government. And they sit there in this meditation, and they light themselves on fire, man. And they stay sitting there. They don't move. They do not move. They just sit there, and they're burning, man.
Man.
Yeah. Do they go hopping around? You know, you ought to quit with all the jokes, okay?
You're making a joke.
No, I'm not making a joke. Buddhist monks went Japanese lantern.
Yeah, all the tiki torch, too.
Well, I was just trying to say, you said you couldn't remember.
I don't remember. It was in the news a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember. All right, here's some more dialogue from the movie Suddenly, starring Frank Sinatra as a potential assassin of the United States president. This is a beautiful flick. Sinatra plays a real oily, creepy dude. Let's listen.
And I don't want the table to shimmy when we get to it.
Tommy gun would do just as good.
Tommy gun stinks. No accuracy, no punch. Might as well use a revolver. You're wrong about me, Pidge, being a coward. Last war, I got a Silver Star.
This is quite a gun, Benny. Quite a gun. I did a lot of chopping in the war with a baby like this. A lot of chopping.
You're wrong about me, Pidge, being a coward. Last war, I got a Silver Star. North of Casino, pocket of resistance. I killed 27 men all by myself.
Oh, God.
Who's that, man? It's Sinatra?
That's Frank Sinatra. And the movie's called Suddenly, and it's a great movie. And he plays one of three guys that are paid to assassinate the president of the United States. And they're waiting for his train to show up. The president's coming through in a train. And they have taken over this house that is owned by, I don't know, Sterling Hayden's girlfriend or something. He's the good guy. And it's kind of reminiscent of Key Largo, you know, where Edward G. Robinson takes over the house and they holds everybody hostage. It's the same kind of thing. Only Sinatra is there, and, you know, they're setting up this high-powered rifle. They're going to kill him. So
I did a lot of chopping with a baby like this. A lot of chopping.
I got to get that.
You get it on Netflix or something. All right. Finally, Occupy Wall Street was getting as tired as Charlie Sheen's jokes about winning. Now, this is an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal. I don't know what's wrong with these people in the Wall Street Journal. Generally, because they are the Wall Street Journal, they're a cut above in terms of their reportage, although this may just be an opinion piece and nothing more. The media were moving on. Questions about the protests were absent from recent Republican debates. Sympathetic neighbors had become frustrated. The police were tired. No amount of overtime was worth the hassle. Most disturbingly, assaults had turned a peaceful gathering into just another bad neighborhood. Then New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg played right into the Occupy Wall Street movement's hands. He gave them a common enemy. Mr. Bloomberg's post-midnight raid on the camp at Zuccotti Park swept the protesters from their spiritual home, but it has re-energized the movement, too. I met Occupy Wall Street in the morning hours following the raid at Foley Square and then Duarte Park. I followed the group back to Zuccotti just 8 hours after the eviction, blah, blah, blah. I don't have a whole lot of time to rip this guy a new ass, but let me just say this. What's your name? Wiedner? Wiedner, let me explain something to you. You ought to know this. You live in New York. I don't, but I can explain this better than you can, than you possibly can see it. The guy's the mayor of the city. He's got to do something. It's not about him playing it cool and, hey, baby, you're playing right into their hands. It's not about him being popular with a certain mindset. It's not about him using the tactics that you have come up with sitting around your kitchen table at night. It's not about him, you know, just sort of playing this sort of passive-aggressive game. He's the mayor of the city. He's got to do something. People are breaking the law. Sanitation. They have found, you know what they found? Did you read, did you see Dr. Dahlia today?
What?
She said they found in needles. They're finding all kinds of stuff. So whether or not you think it was the right groovy move to make, he's the mayor. He's got no choice, okay? All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by myself, Phil Henry, Dan Northcraft, and Fred Scotty. And our website, philhenryshow.com, is at your service. Get a backstage pass and join us every night with our live-streaming video. Listen to our podcast every day. And, of course, enjoy thousands of hours of archived great, great radio shows from The Phil Henry Show. Until tonight, good evening.
Phil Henry Show is broadcasted at El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.